Okay. Here we are. Back. I'm looking for a story here. There's a lot going on here. Is this it? Hold on. I think this is it. I'm going to play this if it is. Yeah, this is it. This is Donald Trump's favorite new coronavirus doctor, if that's the correct way to phrase it. Her name is Stella Emmanuel, Nigerian trained, working apparently in a Texas hospital, and she made an appearance today in support of hydroxychloroquine. Press conference in D.C. today, actually, let me see, yesterday, created a lot of controversy. But for those of you who didn't get a chance to hear it, we'll just try and see if we can play a little bit of it here. It doesn't look like it wants to play. Let's see. Not there. And it doesn't want to play there. Maybe it's been blocked. We'll try one more time here. Yeah. All right. I'll have to cue it up a little later. I want you to hear this. So this is good. Donald Trump said he will now accept the Republican nomination in North Carolina after all. So he's gone away from Jacksonville. He's back in North Carolina now. He's doubling down on his defense of hydroxychloroquine to treat coronavirus, despite efficacy concerns and the second cancellation of trials involving hydroxy and coronavirus. All right, let's see what else we got going on. So much. This is a concern. Excuse me. Some coronavirus survivors are said to be losing their ability to walk and are having to relearn basic motor skills. This is a story out of Spain. So there's a video there. You'll see it. 78% of recovered coronavirus patients are showing signs, according to this story, it's out of cardiovascularbusiness.com, of heart damage. 78% showing heart damage. It's not a good sign. A lot of arguments about masks again. The death rate in Sweden has dropped like a rock. That's interesting. I wonder if they've really gotten past it. Hard to know, but the graph is very interesting. Okay. All right, well, let's stop right there and bring Henry in here. Henry, did you see Donald Trump's new favorite doctor, Stella Emmanuel?
Yes, I did. It's a lot easier to see the video this morning than this afternoon. The bots are putting it up, but it's getting pulled down pretty much as it goes up. Yeah. It had about 14 million views yesterday, but I think you can get short pieces of it if you go to her Twitter website. She's got it up there, and it's only about a minute or two of it. But actually, it was what she said prior to that in her role as a minister. She's not only a doctor, she's a minister. She's treats patients at this strip mall in Houston. And
she does not work really in a hospital there. Excuse me. She works at a clinic. A walk-in type clinic on a strip in a strip mall.
Right next to her firepower ministry. So they're kind of a combo. There's a Walgreens nearby, but yeah, you know, basically there's a bunch of discount stores and her sites and yeah, I heard about this at the beginning of the day, and you know, this video just to give you a little more background, the video has her and a bunch of other doctors, and they were in front of the Supreme Court building holding a kind of a press conference that was dominated by the doctors who are all in town for a meeting that they had set up. But it was these doctors are mostly anti-vaccine doctors. The meeting was why the shutdown really wasn't necessary. And they were basically there to try to lobby congressmen and say what a great job they were doing. They had a website that was called something like America's Frontline Doctors.com. They bought that URL 12 days ago, and it is down. They've taken that down. That doesn't work anymore. It worked this morning, but it doesn't work this afternoon. Basically had the Breitbart apparently live streamed the press conference yesterday. And, there's a bunch of affiliated organizations, QAnon and,
oh, good.
I don't know who else started basically tweeting on this. The Russian bots got involved and they were tweeting it and passing the word around. I mean, and, like I say, I think there were something like 14 million views yesterday. Don Jr. basically tweeted it out, said must-see video. Donald retweeted it, and then he kind of drifted back to his, this is it, miracle drug, hydroxychloroquine with azithromycin and zinc. And, that, it worked for him, and that, that was the way to go.
It worked for Donald Jr.?
Donald. Well, Donald had a briefing today. And,
we'll get to that.
So anyway, let me just kind of work through this.
I got
so
the tape
I heard
here
this morning.
For Stella. You want to hear it?
Okay.
Maybe let me know when.
Okay. Well, here, go again. I heard about it this morning and did go to Twitter and to her website and to her Twitter feed. And, I listened to a little bit of it. And when she was saying that the double blind studies that were conducted on it and other drugs were all fake news. And report on what she had seen. And then I think it got a little bit fuzzy. It's not really clear whether she saw these patients or she was citing another doctor that saw these. But she said it had gotten up to 350 patients and
and counting.
There were no deaths, and it's like a miracle drug. Now, it really wasn't that clear. Looking at the strip mall, it didn't seem that she would get a whole lot of severe cases and be prescribing drugs. That if it was a severe case, they would go into the hospital.
Chances are either that or her church. Here's the video. Let's play a little bit of it so everybody knows what you're talking about.
Okay.
Here we go.
In Houston, Texas, I'm here because I have personally treated over 350 patients with COVID. Patients that have diabetes, patients that have high blood pressure, patients that have asthma, old people. I think my oldest patient is 92, 87 year olds. And the result has been the same. I put them on hydroxychloroquine, I put them on zinc, I put them on Zithromax, and they are all well. For the past few months, I've taken care of over 350 patients. We've not lost one. Not a diabetic, not a somebody with high blood pressure, not somebody with asthma, not an old person. We've not lost one patient. And on top of that, I've put myself, my staff, and many doctors that I know on hydroxychloroquine for prevention, because by the very mechanism of action, it works early and as a prophylaxis. We see patients, 10 to 15 COVID patients every day. We give them breathing treatments. We only wear surgical masks. None of us has gotten sick. It works. So right now, I came here to Washington, D.C. to say, America, nobody needs to die. The study that made me start using hydroxychloroquine was a study that they did in under the NIH in 2005 that say it works. Recently, I was doing some research about a patient that had hiccups, and I found that they even did a recent study in the NIH, which is our national institute, that is the national NIH, National Institute of Health. They actually had a study, and go look it up. Type hiccups and COVID, you will see it. They treated a patient that had hiccups with hydroxychloroquine, and it proved that COVID is a symptom of hiccups. It's a symptom of COVID.
I knew that. All right. Hiccups. Definite symptom. All right. Go ahead, Henry.
So, I kind of went to her Twitter feed, and that's where it had the address of her medical facility, and it was in the strip mall, so the facility itself didn't look that impressive. And then there was more, they mentioned this firepower site, which was active. And hold on, I should have pulled this up ahead of time. Give you the website. Okay. So on the website, now these are her words. This is her website, Stella Emanuel, MD, and Stella underscore Emanuel is the address.
Spelled
and she calls
I-M-M.
Herself I-M-M-A-N-U-E-L. Her Twitter is at Stella underscore Emanuel. And she says she's a physician, an author, a speaker, an entrepreneur, a deliverance minister, God's battle axe and weapon of war. And then she says Rehoboth Medical Center. That's Rehoboth, Houston, Texas. And Firepower Ministries. Well, both Firepower Ministries and Rehoboth Medical Center are in the same strip mall. And like I say, I don't know how many severe patients you might have, somebody that walks in that has asthma, but, you know, I'm not sure how sick these patients are that she's seen. Her website has been down all day, the firepowerministry.org has been returning to me at least an internal server error. So I haven't really got a chance to see that. The website with the America's Doctors or frontlinedoctors.com, you could go ahead and do a who is on that and see that it was started, I think, on the 16th of this month. That is no longer working. You can do a who is. It was working this morning, and they basically talked about this conference, and they talked about who the doctors were, and the number of doctors who was on the website was pretty close to the number of doctors that were at the press conference. So I think that all these doctors are affiliated with this newly formed organization, this 12 days
right.
old.
Okay.
And it really looked like, you know, they were kind of getting ready for the election. And they were basically having this press conference and starting up this website and getting ready to talk about the miracle drug, hydroxychloroquine. And then Trump started, you know, getting involved, and he had the briefing today. And the briefing, he didn't really say that much. He said, well, I got all this stuff coming. We got all these PPEs on order, and, you know, we're basically ready to go, and we do a lot of testing. And he didn't really say anything about the fact that, well, it depends who's counting, but most of the sites showed that today they crossed the 150,000 death line. The Worldometer actually showed it crossing yesterday or even the day before. They're up to 152,000 dead. And so he didn't talk about the number dead. He kind of said that, well, the virus is gone in most of the country, is how he characterized it. He was really going back to the last press briefing he had at the end of last week, which basically was showing all the hot spots. And so it was cooler in the Northeast. And so he was essentially saying today that where it was cooler, there's no virus, and cooler doesn't mean no virus. And then he kind of extrapolated that. That really wasn't what his task force was saying. In fact, they had issued an update today and said that there were 21 states now that are in the red zone. And frankly, the red zone for the virus looks a whole lot like the red state for Trump. I mean, it was all across the South, and it was kind of up through the Midwest and a little bit on the West Coast. And those 21 states were all, experiencing dramatic growth. And just to give you one example was Tennessee. And Deborah took a trip to Tennessee to talk to the governor and say, Debbie comes to Tennessee, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a warning saying that things are getting very hot in Tennessee, and you should think about maybe putting some limits on. And I don't know exactly what they got there, but she said that what you're doing isn't enough. And just to give you an idea, today, Tennessee is getting ready to, tomorrow it'll cross to 100,000 cases. It's at 99,044. Tomorrow it'll cross over to 1,000 deaths. It's at 999. And today they had 2,555 new cases, and the deaths are a trailing indicator. So there are 21 deaths today. So she was essentially coming to give the governor a warning that if they don't do something, things are going to get out of control in Tennessee. And the governor thanked her for the advice and said, they're good. He doesn't have to change anything. So that's an example of, coming attractions, if you will, that just to give an update. Today was the highest number of deaths since the virus has started going up again on the death count. I mean, that's what Trump used to tout. Is
high up in Europe, too.
High up in Europe, too.
The fatality rates, yeah. Well, here it's up to 1,327. I don't think any countries in Europe has that, except maybe...
No, but it's beginning to rise again there.
Right. So it's up to 1,327, which is the high. And you can just kind of take a look at today's numbers. The three states that have been breaking 100 have still broke 100, all three of them. And... they actually got close to Florida set a record at 191, so they're pushing 200 now. California's got 166. There might be another update today, later tonight, but they're at least at 166. Texas is at 164, and today Arizona joined them. So they actually had four states that had at least 104. But, they're not going to be alone. I mean, Georgia, who, I don't know if you recall, the governor was going to sue Atlanta because they got a mandatory mask law.
Yeah.
I think he might have shifted gears on that, and I don't know if he's going to pursue that suit. It sounded like at least it was on hold. And Georgia had 4,209 new cases today. So Georgia's kind of making a move on the top three. They've come down a little bit. They're down to a little under 10,000 now. Florida had 9,230. California is pretty close, 99,066. And Texas only had 8,342. So they're all hanging around 10,000, but they're a little bit under 10,000. And now Georgia's coming up with 4,209. And Arizona's going 4,209 down a little bit.
What, Henry? We're getting a little lost in the numbers here. 4,209?
New cases today.
Okay.
So they're about halfway towards where Texas, Florida, and California are. Those three had been doing a little above 10,000 cases a day. Now they're slightly under 10,000 cases a day. And Georgia is now up to 4,000 cases a day. So they're, by next week, Georgia may very well be in the 7,000-8,000 cases.
Those are all those coronavirus parties they're having there. That's where
right. They opened up early. I mean, they opened up early enough that Trump even said, well, you guys might open up too early. And they said, no, it's not a problem. We got things under control. And it took a little while for them to take off. They've been creeping up. But now 54 deaths, I think, is an all-time high for them. I don't think they've been anywhere near that. But they were 54 deaths today. And they're not alone. Alabama had 72 deaths today. So Alabama's getting ready to join that, 100 death a day club. And then Mississippi is kind of coming up. They're up to 42 today. South Carolina's above 50. They're up to 59 today. So these states in the South are starting to catch up on the death rate. They've been having a large, at least 1,000 cases a day. And like I say, it takes a little while for those to translate into deaths, in part because their initial cases were on the younger side. And so they had these young cases. That's what I said in Florida. Oh, this isn't that bad. They're all young, and the young people do better than the older ones. And so we don't really, they're not going to put as much pressure on the hospitals, the ICUs. There aren't going to be as many deaths, but everybody kind of knows that if you got an explosion of cases in one age group, it's going to affect other age groups. They're going to take it home to their mothers or parents or grandparents. And it's going to kind of move along. So that gives you an idea what the tests are. The deaths are up. The cases are a little bit down. They got up to 62,000 cases today. Had gotten up to about 70-75 last week. They still might get up to that this week. But today it didn't. It's higher than it's been for the weekend, but not a lot higher. Up to 62,000. But Trump was not going through that much detail. He just kind of waved his hand and said the virus is under control. and for most of the state. And then he took questions. And I don't know if you guys thought me want to play from the questions.
Yeah,
or,
I got the famous last question here. You want to hear it?
Yeah, sure. Now, there were some things that the reporter said that weren't audible, but maybe they're on your tape. I don't know.
But we'll see.
Go ahead.
This is CNN at the Trump briefing. Hang on. Here we go.
The woman that you said was a great doctor in that video that you retweeted last night said that masks don't work and there's a cure for COVID-19, both of which health experts say is not true. She's also made videos saying that doctors make medicine using DNA from aliens and that they're trying to create a vaccine to make you immune from becoming religious.
Well, maybe it's the same, maybe it's not, but I can tell you this.
That.
She was on air along with many other doctors.
He's talking about the Nigerian doctor, Stella Emmanuel, for those of you who don't know, all right? Let me back this up just a drop.
They were big.
A vaccine to make you immune from becoming religious.
Well, maybe it's the same, maybe it's not, but I can tell you this.
That.
She was on air along with many other doctors. They were big fans of hydroxychloroquine. And I thought she was very impressive in the sense that from where she came, I don't know which country she comes from, but she said that she's had tremendous success with hundreds of different patients. And I thought her voice was an important voice, but I know nothing about her. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Caitlin, you were asking important questions.
Here's Wolf.
And even some of the president's retweets overnight, they were taken off Twitter, for example, because they were suggesting there's no need to wear a mask, and they were suggesting hydroxychloroquine could potentially, quote, cure coronavirus when there's absolutely no evidence of that.
Not only that, the video was removed from Twitter, it was removed from Facebook, and it was removed from YouTube. Unfortunately, after it had been viewed millions of times, and that's because they said there was misinformation in those videos that were elevated by the president. And the one he was citing, there is a woman in the video, she identifies herself as a doctor, and well, she says that masks do not work, and she says there is a cure for COVID-19. Of course, two things that health experts have said is not true. And so I was asking the president about that. She's also made a host of bizarre other claims, including saying that scientists are trying to come up with a vaccine to prevent you from being religious, things of that nature. And so I asked the president what was the logic in elevating a post like that to 84 million followers of his on Twitter. And he was defending it. He was saying that he didn't know where the doctor was from, but he was talking about how she was citing her personal experience with hydroxychloroquine in patients. Though, of course, we don't.
All right. Okay. Anyway, the Donald walked off. He said, thank you very much, and just turned to his right and exited stage left.
Correct.
Goodbye.
And I'm not sure we're going to see Donald come back on stage for a briefing. This did not end well. And he really set himself up because in addition to doing all this tweeting this morning in between himself and his son, he did kind of, elevate, he helped get those 13 million views or 14 million views, whatever it was. Even Breitbart ended up pulling it down. So everybody's pulled it down. He is, threatened, basically says that, God's going to get Facebook if they don't put her stuff back up. Tweeting all kinds of unusual comments today after everything kind of came down. She said, yesterday, hello, Facebook, put back my profile page and videos up or your computers will start crashing till you do. You are not bigger than that God. This is Stella tweeting yesterday.
I see.
You are not bigger than God. I promise you, if my page is not back up, Facebook will be down in Jesus' name. That's what she tweeted yesterday. And
it's like a big lightning bolt coming.
Right. And so basically, he's kind of elevated this person and this group. I mean, like I say, the group domain name was bought 12 days ago, and the site is gone. That if you go to America's Doctor, America's Frontline Doctors.com, if you go to Who Is, you can see that the date it was initiated. And if you go to that on your computers, you won't go anywhere. It basically, I don't know what it says anymore, but it's not there. It was there this morning, and this is their site. Trump's kind of put, he did this regression, and then he also was tweeting stuff attacking Fauci because he wasn't supporting hydroxychloroquine. And they kind of asked him in the press conference, why was he, attacking Fauci? And he gave his canned response, which is, oh, we got along fine. We pretty much do what he says. Like, they say, well, this is what you got to do to open up. And I said, oh, thank you. And then ignored everything that he said to open up and just opened up. And that's the reason the U.S. is maintaining their lead in number one in the world in deaths and number one in the world in cases. So he went and said, I don't know. I don't understand. Fauci is real popular. He's got good ratings, and Deborah's got good ratings, and I don't. And I don't know what it, well, I'll tell you what it is. People just don't like my personality. So this is what he said in his briefing. And, he didn't say anything about inhaling Clorox. He didn't say anything about trying to figure out how to get
things are getting
UV lights in your body. But, no, they're not getting any good. He's saying you don't need a mask. This is a cure for the COVID. And he's basically just promoting junk science. And he's doing it from the briefing room with the presidential
seal. Mind over matter, Henry.
Yeah. That's why you got 150,000 dead, heading for 200,000. By the fall, and the sky's the limit after that. Well, I don't know if you're going to get another 50,000.
Let's sum it up.
It's above 1,000. It's above 1,000. It's up to 1,300 a day. I think it'll be a little push to get up to 2,000 but it's got a good shot at it. So if it's up to 2,000 a day, then you're right. Then it only takes 25 days to get up to 200,000. So it'll do that
from
the end
of
August.
Through the end of the year is going to be really ugly. Oh my!
Well, yeah, because you got a whole series of events coming up. Number one, the virus is high and alarmingly high. Increasing at a concerning rate in 21 states, and it's getting ready to start school, and the deaths are trailing indicators. So even if the cases come down in the top three states, in California and Texas and Florida, the deaths are still going to continue to go up. Because the deaths are people that have, not people that just got infected. These are people that went into the hospital 2 or 3 weeks ago. And a lot of people were going into the hospital 2 or 3 weeks ago. So those people that have already put a strain on the hospital are going to continue to die. And that those, death tallies are going to go up in all three of those. And then you've got another set of states that are mostly in the South that have had high numbers. They've had 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 cases per day. And that they've been doing that now in that range for several weeks now. And so that's going to result in another round of deaths. So you've got the patients that have already been hospitalized that are going to be dying in the next month or so. And that number is going to go up. It probably will get up to 2,000. So that'll be back to where things were in April and May when things were bad
and
in New York.
And it wasn't in England. The second wave. Just don't get confused.
Right. Right. So this is still the first wave, and it's still some. And in the first wave, it just kind of bounces around. It's not hitting everywhere at once. That's what happens in the second wave. And so this first wave is all over the place. And some schools are foolishly going to try to open with this level of virus. You know, Florida is probably one prime example where they're saying all the schools are supposed to open, you know, and I don't know. Some obviously aren't going to open, but some are going to open that shouldn't be opening. And they're going to get a rude awakening because it doesn't matter whether they, you know, trying to convince kids to wear masks. You know, they'll take the mask off on the bus when they're going home, or they'll take it off when they're at school. Yeah, you know, they're going to see all their friends at school, and they're going to say, "What are you doing after school?" type stuff, and the sports are going to cause contact. You know, they're probably going to try to play football, and that's not going to work. You know, and so
I got to ask you a question here. This is a big story. Yeah. 78% of recovered patients show signs of heart damage. This is if that's true, even 50%, I don't even 25%. Here's the story. Cardiac involvement and myocardial inflammation, that's the word there, are common in recovered COVID-19 patients, according to a new study published in JAMA Cardiology. The authors studied cardiac imaging results of 100 adult patients included in the University Hospital Frankfurt COVID-19 registry. All patients had confirmed cases of coronavirus, but passed a swab test after at least 2 weeks in isolation. They were recruited for this analysis between April and June of this year. The team tracked patients who had experienced a wide variety of outcomes after their diagnosis. Just 2 of the 100 patients had to undergo mechanical ventilation. Just 2 had to be vented, for example, and oxygen supplementation was required in 28 patients. So these were not all supercritical patients. That's the point here.
Right.
All participants underwent cardiac MR imaging using standardized and unified protocols on 3T MRI scanners. The cohort was da-da-da-da-da. Overall, the team found that 78 patients out of the 100 had abnormal imaging findings. The findings included raised myocardial native T1, 73 patients, raised myocardial native T2, 60 patients, myocardial late gadolinium enhancement, 32 patients, and pericardial enhancement in 22 patients. 3 patients underwent a biopsy after severe abnormalities were detected. Active lymphocytic inflammation was present in these patients, but no evidence of any viral genome. What's it all mean, Henry?
Well, it means that the virus got a polybasic plebiscite, and it goes through a lot of different organs, including the heart. And
it leaves residue behind, as it were.
Right, right. Well, the patient's immune system goes and attacks the virus, and it's not uncommon that there can be collateral damage. Right, the organs that have it in the process of knocking out the virus, it damages the cells of the virus is in or near. And you can have that type of damage. And if the virus is going to the heart, I mean, if you remember way back when this first got started, one child in Guangdong province, that wasn't the heart, that was his lungs.
I remember.
They probably didn't look at his heart. So I don't know. But his lungs were damaged, and he had no symptoms. So he was asymptomatic, and the only reason they tested him is because his parents insisted that he could be tested because they were all infected with the virus. Mm-hmm. And they had issues with their lungs. Right. Well, I don't think the family that he was in was that high. The group might have been, but the family, I think, had both parents,
five.
I think, a couple of siblings. Right, right. So I think that there might have been, five in that family. There were more in relatives that went to Guangdong province, and then one or two of them got infected. They didn't go to Guangdong province. They went to Wuhan, and then when they came back, they infected at least one or two relatives. I think they might have infected one. So that showed the human-to-human transmission, that one of the family members was infected, even though they didn't go to Wuhan. And this child, I don't know if the child went to Wuhan or if it was just, at the home, and they had one family member, at least one, that had gotten infected that didn't go, and they wanted this child tested. And the doctors tried to talk him out of it because, he said, he's fine. He didn't have any symptoms. He might have been in the house with you, but, there's no reason to think that he had any damage. I think he did test positive for the virus. So they said, even though he got tested, he was positive for the virus. He was asymptomatic. So
right.
The assumption was that if he didn't have any symptoms, he had a very mild case, and it was no big deal. And then when they looked at it, they did an MRI on his lungs, and they could see that the virus had caused damage in the lungs, even though he didn't have any symptoms. And so that's what the concern is. And that's also a concern for children. I mean, this line that Trump throws out that, the kids do fine. They really represent 0.01% of the cases or some ridiculous number. But it wasn't the cases of the deaths. So, he basically said since the kids didn't die, it's not a big deal, even if they get infected, that they'll get over it. A lot of them are going to be asymptomatic. And the issue is, some of them develop this rash and have this syndrome, and others may be just like, either the child in Guangdong province or some of the, patients that were in the study that you just cited, where they had evidence of heart damage and how reversible that is and how bad that is.
You just put your finger on it.
Right.
You just put your finger on it. Is it reversible? Can the body heal?
Right.
Or are these people going to go through life maybe with a shorter lifespan if this damage is significant? And it's varying, obviously, in patient to patient.
Or are they going to be even more susceptible to more damage if they get infected again? The virus, it's new. Not enough is known about it long term. And the idea that, if you don't die, you're fine. Or if you don't go into the ICU, you're fine.
It doesn't work that way. It's not like influenza.
Or if you don't go if you don't go into the hospital, you're fine. You can get the virus and say, it wasn't really that bad. I felt a little tired, or I was tired, but I didn't really have symptoms that long. And you know, now it's gone. And in some of these cases, they say it's gone, and they get it again. And, you know, some of the arguments, which I don't believe, is that, oh, it was dead virus, and it was hard, and it was there hidden. It wasn't really doing anything, and they took a test a month later, and they were positive, but they weren't really reinfected. But the patients say, I was symptomatic. You know, basically, I felt fine for 2 months, and all of a sudden, I had the same symptoms again. And so the virus wasn't dead. You know, the virus was causing these symptoms. And these symptoms were significant. That's why I got tested again. And the guys that are poo-pooing it and saying, well, it's just leftover residual virus, you know, they're basically dependent upon negative data. They're saying, well, they couldn't culture anything. They couldn't get the virus to grow. It's PCR positive, but, you know, and the point is, they don't always get the virus to grow. You know, a lot of times they have to work really hard to get the virus to go, even on the first time. They don't get virus isolated from every patient. And in some cases they can, but they have to work hard at it. You know, they have to get, you know, a sample from the lungs, and they can do it. If they do a nasopharyngeal swab, the patient will be negative. And there's always been issues. I mean, the whistleblower that died, I think he tested negative like 4 times, and he ended up dying. I mean, eventually he was positive. So the fact that he had pneumonia, he was on a ventilator, or at least he was getting oxygen, and he tested negative, didn't mean he had dead virus there. And actually the negative would suggest there was no virus there, but he had symptoms and the virus moves around. I mean, they even have that with influenza. When influenza goes and gets severe and goes into the lungs, the virus is cleared from the upper respiratory tract. So it doesn't matter if you have a nasopharyngeal swab and they stick the swab in so it feels like it's going into your brain. There's no blood, there's no virus in your head, it's in your lungs. And, you know, the swab doesn't go that far, it actually goes in the other direction. And so, you know, if you do a nasopharyngeal swab, you're negative because you've already cleared the virus from the upper respiratory tract, and it's causing all the problems in the lower respiratory tract. And in this case, the virus can go to a bunch of different organs. That's why they can pick the virus up in a stool sample. I mean, have you ever gone to the doctor and say, I think I've got the flu, and he said, well, let me get a flu sample, a stool sample, and see if you're positive? They don't test stool for flu, because the flu doesn't have a polybasic cleavage site. It stays in the upper respiratory tract. And in general, it doesn't cause damage. This one goes to a bunch of different organs. And it can cause damage. And the damage can come from a healthy immune system. So you can have people that don't get that sick because they were successful in getting rid of the virus, but they weren't successful in avoiding damage. And so
this is bad. This is not good.
Yeah, you have these other cases that basically had a relatively mild case, and they get reinfected, and all of a sudden they've got paralysis. They can't, you know, they've got some issue.
Can't walk. That's coming out of Spain now. They can't balance.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And there was the case that I mentioned of a physician who I think got infected in April and got over it, really wasn't that bad. And then all of a sudden he got infected again and he's paralyzed from the waist down. From the neck down. And he's on a ventilator. I mean, I don't know what his outcome's going to be, but
Yeah, he
had a much severer case the second time around, and it was neurological. So it's not a virus you want to get the virus is out there, is spreading, and Trump thinks it's gone. And if you take a little hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic, you'll be fine. You know, look at him. He's okay. I mean, he goes beyond anecdotal. He goes through testimonial with the sample size
this is
of
a,
one.
Henry, this is a very, very bad virus. And SARS was bad, but this is worse.
SARS didn't have a polybasic CDC.
No, this is, and for those of you who don't know, that makes this virus eligible and able to attach to any body cell type it wants to, not specifically just pulmonary cells, for example, like an influenza. This is going to have to be watched. These collateral damage issues apparently created by your body's own immune system trying to fight that virus, get it away from the heart, and then damaging some of the heart muscle. This is not good. I do not like this at all. Thank you, Henry. Any final word real quick?
Now the numbers are going up, and I think that there'll be the death toll will be even higher tomorrow. It's not going away, and there's a lot of reasons why it's going to go up in the coming months. And
it's going to be really bad. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. When flu season hits, it'll be even worse. Okay.
I know.
Let's talk
all right,
tomorrow.
Thanks. Yeah, take care.
All right,
all right.
Take care.
Dr. Henry Nyman, Ph.D., one of the world's foremost and well-respected virologists. Very lucky to have him on the program. We have been doing special programs since January the 8th, to give you an idea. This has been tracked from the beginning, at least from the perspective of living here in the U.S. And, well, we've watched the rest of the world, too. Back with you tomorrow night. Don't get this virus. Use common sense. Put the mask on. I'm going to repeat. Vitamin D3, zinc, selenium, Allicin C. I always forget this. Oh. Colloidal silver. And that's it for now. Just those five. All right? Take those. Prepare in advance. So if you get this stuff, I believe these are natural impediments toward it spreading, you'll be better off. All right, we'll be back tomorrow.